So new starts are always filled with the hope and promise of something exciting to come. New homes, new jobs, new friends, the new year, which begins tomorrow. And I think especially new babies stir up in us that hope of what might be as we wonder who they might be when they grow up, what they might accomplish. And just new things in general stir our dreams. And Jesus was a child of promise, a child that stirred the dreams and the hopes. There was something special about this baby. Mary was visited by angels announcing his birth. Strange shepherds showed up out of the blue to see him. And now, as Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to be ritually presented to God, as we might today do in the form of baptism or a dedication, Simeon and Anna, two of God's saints, two prophets, gathered around the child and spoke of the great things he was to do in his life. And I can't imagine what Mary must have been thinking. Perhaps pride, maybe even a little worry, as she took in all of this attention that was given to her newborn baby. And as Simeon speaks, maybe she begins to feel an inkling of how special Jesus is going to be. Through the Holy Spirit, Simeon tells us that Jesus is to be the promised Messiah, God's anointed one, one who will bring salvation for all the people of the world. Now, Jesus wasn't sent by God to lead an armed rebellion, overthrowing the oppressive Roman government, as many hoped the Messiah would do in that day. True salvation cannot come from meeting violence with violence. No, Jesus, the light of revelation, as Simeon calls him, reveals a different way, the way of unconditional love. Jesus offers the world a path to healing and wholeness by walking in love for each other, supporting each other. This is the kingdom of God, a way of life grounded in love and hope, leading to peace and justice. And the prophet Anna talks of him as a deliverer, one who will lead the people to freedom, kind of a new Moses figure in a way. The path of love, which leads to the kingdom, also leads to liberation. And Paul uses that similar language of liberation, saying Jesus was sent to deliver God's people from the law so that they might live more fully as who they are, God's children, rather than as slaves. Now, of course, Paul's language can sometimes be problematic as well. Talk of freedom from the law might imply that the law is something negative, which in turn can lead to anti-Semitism. But the law is not bad. Jesus himself said he wasn't here to erase the law, but to fulfill it. And I think of it in these terms. I mean, think of how we raise kids. When they're little, we give them rules to protect themselves. Don't touch the stove. And we may or may not explain why they're not supposed to touch the stove, or why sometimes it's okay to touch the stove and other times it's not. And they learn those things as they grow and mature and can understand how a stove works. They reach a point where they no longer need a rule about touching the stove because they can discern for themselves what's safe and what isn't. And I think the law that God gives us that's laid out in the Bible is similar. It's there to help us and to keep us safe when we're just learning who we are and how we're supposed to get along in the world. And Paul understands Jesus as the one who can help us mature and internalize the basis of the law, which is to love God, neighbor, and self. And this frees us from the rules and regulations of religion because it teaches us to think for ourselves, to hear and discern the call of the Spirit. And just so I'm not misunderstood, I don't want to at all dismiss Jewish law as legalistic. Spiritual maturity is not just a Christian thing. Judaism has a long history of discernment about the law with debate and commentary. But any religion, especially when its leaders fall prey to delusions of power, can also get caught up in that legalism where it becomes more about following rules than following the Spirit. Where in Paul's words, one becomes a slave to those rules. And that's especially true in some strands of Christianity, and certainly a danger for all of us if we aren't wary. But in Jesus, Paul understands us to be delivered from that kind of oppressive religion. Instead, when we embrace Jesus, that is, when we embrace love, when love becomes our guiding principle, no matter what religion we adhere to, we become God's children as we were created to be in the first place. As we internalize love as the basis of our lives, instead of following rules that are meant to demonstrate what it means to love our neighbor, when we internalize love, we become love. We evolve, mature, and realize our own potential as divine children of promise. And of course, as much hope and promise for the future that lie along God's path of love, the path of wholeness, it's not always an easy path. And Simeon recognizes this. Even as his Spirit-inspired hope bubbles up, he warns that Jesus will be the downfall and the rise of many. He'll be rejected. The secrets of many will be laid bare, he says, and a sword will pierce Mary's heart. In a world that's prone to violence as it pursues power in the vain hope that that power will control and bring order to life, pursuing instead a path of love, as Jesus teaches us, is going to shake things up. When we're taught that it's best to be in charge, to control others and circumstances as much as we can, the idea that we would do much better loving and supporting each other is revolutionary. And it's also threatening to those who hold power. Following a path of love will turn the hierarchies of the world upside down. When the light of love shines, it does indeed expose the secrets of the powerful. And no one likes their secrets revealed. It eventually got Jesus killed, rejected by the world that he was trying to heal and save. How could that not pierce Mary's heart? Just as the tragedies of the world today can pierce our hearts. When we know that there's a better way to live, and yet everything around us seems motivated by fear and hatred, does that not pierce our hearts as well? But I think that a pierced heart can also be an open heart. As painful as it is, sometimes heartbreak and struggle is how we grow. If we can keep our wounds from developing hard calluses, they can actually provide openings for more love and light to enter our lives. For example, if we've been hurt by someone, we can either build a wall between us and the world, thinking that that will keep anyone else from ever hurting us again. Or we can learn and grow from that experience, turning to others for support and love. Consider this poem from Rumi, which you might remember, as I know I've read it in the past. It's called The Guest House. This being human is a guest house, every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. They may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door, laughing, and invite them in. grateful for whoever comes because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. Now, I don't believe that God sends us struggles to make us grow, but I do believe we can grow from struggles. The struggles, the heart piercings can guide us into something new and wonderful when we welcome them with love. They too help us, help guide us into maturity, into our wholeness as God's children of promise. And certainly Simeon knew the path ahead was not going to be easy. Righting injustice never is. But still, Simeon found peace in his heart. He had seen where that path was going to eventually lead, and that was enough. He put his trust in God. His was a peace that didn't come from knowing that everything would be smooth, but it came from the knowledge that there was a path. There was a path to peace and justice through the hope and love of God manifest in the world. This path of love, healing, and wholeness is open to everyone if only we choose to follow Jesus and walk it. Jesus was God's child of promise who grew strong and was filled with wisdom by the grace of God, who opens before us a path and invites us to take our place as God's children, as lights of hope and love in the world. Our promise and potential lies in our love for each other, in the love of God that we accept into our hearts and share with those around us. And as we move into this new year, maybe you're thinking about resolutions and what changes might be ahead, how we might like to grow this year. And whether you are one to make resolutions or not, I invite each of us to reflect in the rest of this Christmas season, the season of God's love given birth into the world in human form. What is one new way we might be a more loving people? What is one way we might share our love with someone who needs it in their life right now? May the Spirit lead us into the kingdom, filling all of our hearts with a deep love, that we and the world might find healing and wholeness. Amen.